Well, this morning I'm continuing the sermon series we began last week called The Significance of the Holy Spirit. And the whole purpose of this series is to try to impress upon you the importance of the Holy Spirit and the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our world and in the lives of Christians. Last week I talked about who the Holy Spirit was. If you're unable to be here, then I invite you to go on to the website, www.graceunited.ca, and that sermon is there for you to take a look at. This week, I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. In the book of John's Gospel, the third chapter that Donna read for you, the story of Nicodemus, it's a very powerful story where Jesus tries to help the religious leader of that day, who was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, try to understand this whole thing about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you have to be born again. And it was an incredibly strange concept for Nicodemus. He couldn't figure it out. He said, you know, how do you get back into your mom's womb? You know, you get figure out how you get up back in there. And he just couldn't figure this out. And the Holy Spirit is like that for many people. We don't understand much about it, and we're very resistant as United Church people. We have this kind of stubborn streak in us around the Holy Spirit, mainly in connection with what we've seen in other denominations. We go, if that's what the Holy Spirit is, I'll have nothing of that at all. Which is really interesting, because we don't say, I wonder what the Holy Spirit really is about. We just go, if that's what it's like, I don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And so it's one of the weakest parts, I believe, in the United Church of Canada and in our congregation here. And so I want to talk about what is this role of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, in your life today, not in the person across the way or the leaders of the church or somebody else, but what's the role of the Holy Spirit in your specific life today? Well, the Holy Spirit is a person, as I mentioned last week. I'm not going to talk a lot about that today because I did go through that last week and you can check it online. But the Holy Spirit is this personal presence. It's a person that lives inside of you. And yet it's not a person that is known really well for many people. It's kind of fuzzy, kind of out of focus. It's kind of like this picture. You know, we kind of think there's something there, but we're not sure what that figure is all about. And the Holy Spirit is much like that. It's a presence that comes into our life when we are connected with Christ. And it's there to guide us and strengthen us and encourage us. But many people are unsure about it. In my work at hospice, I often have people that have this kind of experience of a presence after loved ones die. And they'll say, you know, I could feel my mom is near. I could feel my husband. And they have this sense of awareness that there's something there. They can't see it. They can't really explain it. But it's there just the same. And the Holy Spirit is much like that. The Spirit is present in us as believers. And so how do we begin to understand that in a greater way? Well, the Holy Spirit is a lifeline to God. It's what connects us to the Eternal One. It's like that astronaut out there in space. His lifeline is dependent upon that line that holds them to the spacecraft. If it wasn't for that line, they'd fly off into the universe and they would die. And the lifeline that the Holy Spirit has for us is it connects us to the Eternal One that assures us that we are connected and engaged with that presence that is beyond us and yet within us. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit, there's multiple gifts. It gives us the ability to be more like Christ. That's what the number one responsibility of the Holy Spirit is. It's to help us be like Jesus. And Jesus said, when I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come, going to teach you things that I've told the Holy Spirit so that you will know what I want you to know. And it's to help us have the mind of Christ, to think like Jesus, to have the wisdom and the insights of Christ, and to display the kind of love that Jesus had for the world. The number one responsibility of all Christians everywhere is to be connected and experience the love of God, and to know that love undeniably, and to be so filled with that love that it flows into the lives of others, and we impact that, we have that love impacting on our life so much that we just can't help talking to other people about the love that God has and the love that God wants to put onto their life as well. We cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. You don't have the ability to proclaim the gospel unless the Holy Spirit is within you. And we want to have this mindset and this strength and this presence and this power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be more like Christ. A critical, cynical, negative, and gentle mind, judgmental mind, is not like Christ. Have you ever met somebody who has critical and cynical, negative, judgmental, talks about other people? People like that, even when they're in the church, you know somebody in the church that's critical and cynical, that person is trying to live life out of their own personal energy and power. And when you try to live out of your own energy and power, there simply is not enough to live like Christ. You cannot live like Christ without the energy and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you're cynical and when you're doubtful and when you've lost hope, it's because we've lost that connection to the Holy One, to the Holy Spirit, and we're trying to live life on our own. And Jesus said that my goal is to leave so the Holy Spirit will come and empower you to live like Christ and be God's people. The Holy Spirit is received when we become a Christian. It is a gift that God gives us when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior. When we say that Christ is going to be the boss of my life, when I make that decision that I'm going to make Christ the boss of my life, we enter into a connection with Christ through our baptism and confirmation, and it's at that moment that the Holy Spirit comes. That's why in confirmation, when we have confirmations here, there's always the laying on hands, because that's the symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon people. Now, all people have God within them. Ecclesiastes 3, the 11th chapter, it says, I have placed eternity into the hearts of all. God is there in the hearts of all people. But it's when we make that decision that Christ is going to be our boss, when we decide we're going to live our life not according to my principles, not according to the principles of the community around us, but by the principles of Christ, when I decide that, then it's at that moment, at the same moment when we accept Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes. And in that Holy Spirit, we get these gifts. And the gift of the Spirit cannot be bought. It's not earned. It's not because you have a degree and you get a Holy Spirit diploma. People can be very, very unintellectual, but be incredibly gifted with the Holy Spirit. And you can have this other person that's incredibly smart and brilliant, but has no Spirit in them. They may have the presence of God because it's a gift that comes when we connect with Christ. And the gift that God gives is a gift forever. And that's one of the shifts that took place in the New Testament. Last week I talked to you about how the Spirit was all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Spirit was there in creation. In a couple of the stories, it talks about how the Spirit was removed from a person. Saul, one of the kings, was a time when the Spirit was removed. And David, another king, in Psalm 51 says, Lord, do not remove your Spirit from me. And it was an indication that people in those Old Testament days believed that the Spirit can come, but but the spirit can be removed as well. And Jesus promised that the spirit is a gift that's going to be there for your entire life. You can ignore it. You could deny it. You can have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. But the spirit is there just the same. And the spirit, in fact, is the seal of salvation for those who believe. It is the assurance of our eternal life. People of the United Church are interesting individuals. And if you ask people in the United Church, do you believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Some would definitely say yes. There's no question about that. But some people that I've talked to, they do this. Well, I hope so. I hope what I believe is true, and I hope I'm going to go there. And they have this kind of creeping doubt as to whether or not their gift of eternal life is solid and a reality that they're going to experience in the future. And in the seal of the Holy Spirit, when we accept that moment of Christ in our life, it's at that same point that we encounter that eternal gift of salvation. Ephesians, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus in the first chapter, verse 13 and 14 said, when you believed, you were marked in him, the Holy Spirit, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And so with the Holy Spirit comes the assurance that when that time comes for us to move from this side of life's curtain to the next, we have the guarantee of that event because of our acceptance of Christ and the seal of the Holy Spirit within each of our lives. Well, the Holy Spirit gives us comfort and help, and Jesus talked about that. I'm going away, I'm going to send the counselor, Holy Spirit, the comforter. And the Holy Spirit comes and comforts us in challenging moments, in times of difficulty. When life is not going well, Jesus promised that you don't have to worry, that the Spirit will be there to lift you, to hold you, to encourage you, and to strengthen you. The Spirit gives gifts of the Spirit, and there's seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: the gift of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and the fear of offending the Lord. And we see the list of these in the other scripture lesson that was printed in the bulletin today, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 to 11. I'm not going to read it, but in this passage, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of healing, of prophecy, of speaking in tongues, of knowledge, of wisdom. And all of those are the gifts that God gives us when the Holy Spirit comes into the lives of individuals. And the role of the Holy Spirit is for the strengthening of the church. It is not to glorify you. If God gives you the gift of healing, it's not so people can look at you and go, whoa, man, she's a real healer. Or boy, is he ever a really strong person of knowledge and understanding. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for you. It's not to make you look good. It's not to make you feel good that you're better there, have something different than everybody else. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for the strengthening of the body of Christ. And further on in this passage, Paul goes on and talks about that, that the body and all the parts of the body, all the gifts of the body, are used in unity, and one is not more important than the other. And the last thing is, when the Holy Spirit enters into our lives, it gives us access to the fruit of the Spirit, to all these different aspects of living with the Spirit inside of us. Things like peace, goodness, and kindness, and patience, and gentleness. It'd be an interesting question if you took this list. It's in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 21 and 22, I believe. If you take this afternoon and say, how many of these fruits have I encountered? And do I display within my life because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And the final thing is, our responsibility is simply to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence, to realize that there is this deeper part of life that we can't fully grasp, cannot fully understand, but we can definitely experience and feel within our life. And that's the first step, is just simply to acknowledge, loving God, I know you have given me your Spirit. And begin to acknowledge that, and then secondly, to ask for great awareness. In your prayer life, Lord, help the Holy Spirit take hold within me. Help it have greater evidence in me. Help me to experience that Spirit so I can be a better blessing to other people, and to give it permission to work through you so that it will strengthen the congregation of grace. Sometimes I wonder and ask the question, is the weakness in the United Church because the people of the United Church are not allowing the Spirit to move through them and to use the gifts that God has given each of you? Everybody here has a ministry. Everybody here is called to be working for the strengthening of the church. It's not just the people on the board. It's just not the people who lead in worship or have another part to play in some committee. Every person in this church is to use the gift of God's Spirit in you for the strengthening of this body of faith. And as each faith body increases and strengthens, it strengthens the overall body of Christ throughout the world. And we're called to be filled with the Spirit. Do you allow that Spirit to flow out of you? And do you walk in the Spirit? And do you allow yourself to experience the Holy Spirit in its fullness and its power? Two passages of scriptures I want to close with. First one, 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 14. Paul says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. You see, you can ignore the gift of the Holy Spirit in you. If you accepted Christ, the Spirit's already inside you. Not an if, it's there. But you can ignore it. You can deny it. You can resist it. You can quench it, as Paul says. You can say, I'm not going to allow that Spirit to do anything in me more than I want it to do. And Paul says here, do not neglect the Spirit that is within you. It's already there. In fact, meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them. Give yourself permission to experience the Holy Spirit in its fullness. And here's the interesting thing, that your progress may be evident to others. And so people, one day when they're having coffee, they go, what the heck happened to Diane? Something's changed in her. Something's happened. And what's happened is that she has allowed the Spirit to reign in her. And Paul, again, in Thessalonians, when he's talking to the church in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians 16 and 7, he says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. When you're in tough situations, are you a person that is joy-filled? Do you allow the Spirit to enter into that situation, not only to nurture you, but to witness to the people around you how you deal with hard times, and allow the Spirit to flow forth from you into the lives of others? I believe the role of the Holy Spirit is more important now than in the past 100 years within the church. I believe we're at a very important place in our church to decide whether the Spirit is going to burn forth from us into the lives of others, and to allow it to flow from us into the people around us? Or will we allow it just to be silent and still and quenched and just live our lives out of our own power? A church that has people that live from their own power will be a church that will be very limited. It will look after the people that they know, no question about it. Church that lives in its own power will look after their friends. They will look after the people they know in the church. But we'll have insufficient power to live the gospel message and embrace the community. And so the question this morning is, where is the Holy Spirit in you? And what is important for you to do to allow that Spirit to have greater expression in you so that it has a positive impact upon your life, the people around you, and ultimately the ministry of Christ here at Grace? The Spirit is Christ's gift to us, given because Christ left so the church would grow. May you find a way to allow the Spirit to grow within you. As Celia said in a prayer, to burn within you so that the love of God in others might be encountered and shared with all people.